Today on Family Talk.
God's the perfect parent. He put his children in a perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, and they still rebelled. And that was the most comforting thing to me, because my whole heart had been to be a good mom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and a few months ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Atlanta with my fellow co-host, Ryan Dobson, and record several interviews at the International Christian Retail Show. One of those interviews was with an amazing woman named Sue Detweiler, who's written a book titled 9 Traits of a Life-Giving Mom, which I highly recommend. Today, we're going to hear the conclusion of that interview with her. So here now is Ryan, Sue Detweiler, and myself from the show floor of ICRS on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I was desperate that I knew if I didn't get fed in the morning and that I would not have the emotional strength to do a good job raising my kids. And yet I had less time. So I remember one moment that Angela comes out and I'm reading my Bible, and of course she wants breakfast right then.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so she's kind of demanding it. And I just, you know, she was my second. I said, okay, well, mom's got to eat her breakfast first. And she starts looking around for the food. And, and then she finally said, Mom, do you eat the Bible for breakfast? And
great.
I said, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And that is one of the ways. That's one of the strategies that we need.
Mm-hmm. You're not being spiritually starved.
Spiritually starved.
And it's especially important for moms because you have no time. None. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at my wife. Listen, I was recording the audio version of my dad's book. I told my staff this. And I texted Laura that I'd gotten 3 chapters done. She's like, oh, honey, way to go. I'm so proud of you. And I was like, what have you done today? Yeah.
Ryan.
It was embarrassing. She's encouraging me. She had mowed the lawn. Mm-hmm. Gotten the kids fed, dressed. There was like 40 things she had done. And I was like, oh, look at you. You talked for a while in an air-conditioned office. Oh, I'm so proud of you, Ryan. But she was. I mean, she's the best. So, yeah, moms have no time. And oftentimes, scripture gets thrown out because, I mean, I got to feed my kids. I got to dress my kids. I got to do all these are things I have to do. But you're saying that scripture in the morning especially, you have to do it. You got to feed yourself.
You need the Word of God, and you need to build those strategies, and it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. You know, I taught my kids the Word, and we would do things together with the Word. But every season's different. So you don't look at somebody else's life and do a cookie cutter, but what's God saying to you about how you can get the Word in your life every day? You need it.
You're a pastor. What led you to be a pastor?
Well, you know, I grew up Mennonite. Are you all familiar with Mennonites?
No, well, I know Mennonites. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So I did not know that women could be pastors.
But well, I will tell you, if I saw you on the street, I would never peg you for a pastor. She's gorgeous. Not that pastors aren't gorgeous. I'm going to get in trouble with this one.
I got great grandmas that were pastors.
Really? But,
oh, yeah.
But I mean,
really? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Big.
Really?
I mean, I had lots of evangelism in my past. My dad's dad was a traveling evangelist, and I think it was his aunt was a pastor.
I didn't know
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. We just had a gentleman on recently who doesn't believe in women pastors, and my dad just had to tell him in the beginning, hey, we disagree on that one, so maybe we'll steer clear. He was like, okay. All right.
Well, you know, it was one of those things that God had to open the door. Because I felt that sense of call. I thought I'd be on the mission field because that was the only place I had seen women in ministry.
Okay.
And so I was willing to be single all of my life and be a woman in ministry if that's what God called me to. But I met my husband early, and he was already a pastor.
Okay.
And so I was one of the youngest women ordained in the church, and I've been in pastoral ministry for 30 years.
All right.
And in different roles, in different ways. But I love people. I want to pour into the people.
Yeah.
And I love the local church. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping is that the local church can end up really using this to help moms.
Yeah, I'm sure they can. So you're not Mennonite now?
No.
Okay.
We've been a part of the Foursquare denomination with Jack Hayford and have been for many years.
Okay, very cool. You just have such an extraordinary, diverse well of wisdom that you pour into this book. As a pastor, you have 6 children. Did you homeschool?
I did.
Oh, I knew you were going to say
I
you did.
Okay,
of course.
But you know what? I can even top that because I was a pastor while I was going through this.
Of course.
And so I was over education. So one of the things I was a principal of a homeschool academy.
Wow.
You know, my children went through it, you know.
Yeah.
They had me for chapel. They had me for everything.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, Sue, we've been talking about all the different hats you've worn. And I'm intrigued by all the different hats. You've homeschooled your kids, and you're a pastor. And you like to preach, you just told me. So did your kids like to listen to you preach? Would they sit in church and listen to you preach?
Well, when I did a lot of preaching, my children were younger. You know,
okay.
So I do have that memory of being at the pulpit, and from the back, a mother bringing in her child from the nursery, screaming, "Rachel bit me!" Oh, I know. It's crazy,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Nice.
You know, what that moment's like to be at the pulpit.
And Rachel was your daughter?
My daughter had bit this
pastor's
child.
Pastor's daughter
yes.
bites child. Mom finds out while she's preaching.
So those are the types of moments. Oh. As the children grew up, then we were both associate pastors. And so I oversaw 2 schools, and one of them was their homeschool academy that they attended. And I think they did like it. They liked the fact that I was teaching Bible, that I was teaching history, and that I was at all their events.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Do you preach still?
I do.
Good. You need to do a teaching series on your book. Maybe
I have been developing
that.
Great.
Yes.
There are some simple videos online, just very simple, but yes, that is something
I think
I'm developing.
I think this would be a terrific Bible study for a lot of moms out there. The chapters aren't long. It's you give us bite-sized pieces of different things, and you really hit us over the head. Can we talk about fear?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Replacing fear. Fear and the fear that we have. And I just think fear is so intriguing because it's a horrible feeling, and it is a feeling that paralyzes us. And I often think if you're living in fear, you can't be living in faith.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you write about replacing our fear with God's faithfulness. And how does that happen?
All the way in Scripture, and you'll see it in the Psalms. There will be this repetition of remembering what God has done. So one of the practical things when you're at a low place and you're feeling fearful, your husband's lost his job, you don't have enough finances, you know, you're being evicted, or you're feeling fearful that you don't measure
up.
Or
you're in the middle of a fire.
Yes.
Like you were.
That type of fear, anytime that we're fearful, we're looking more at the circumstance than the one who holds the circumstances. And we have times where we have to literally lift our heads up and focus our attention. And it's in the faith and His perfect love that fear is cast out. Mm-hmm. It can't remain.
It can't remain. But what you're talking about really is in the face of fear, and when you have that feeling of fear, in spite of it, you cry out to God, you recite a scripture, even though your heart is filled with this fear, and it's that action. There's something just the power in saying Jesus' name or saying the scripture, and then the fear dissipates.
It does, and in addition to that, remembering what
remembering.
He has done. Remembering, okay, I remember when God... I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. Retracing those places when God showed up. Because when you're in that time...
You don't remember.
You don't remember. You're just thinking about all the bad things that have ever happened to you. And our perspective of how faithful God is to us will allow us to stand and be faith-filled and faithful.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's so true. It's so simple, but it's so hard.
It right. is. But you don't have to do it alone.
No.
And I'm glad you noted the bite-sized chapters. Mm-hmm. I wrote this with the mom thinking, okay, she's got to be able to read this in this short yeah. amount of time. But that's why I went back and did a study guide. Yeah. So one of the things I hope is that moms will be able to go through this. And there's also another thing that's in the book. There is life-giving prayers.
Yeah, I noticed that. I love
those prayers.
Prayer,
and I did that on purpose because I'm hoping that moms will speak these out loud mm-hmm. because they're from the Word, they're from Scriptures, and it's amazing when you pray something out loud, like fear, for example, it dissipates.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. And I know I've struggled with a lot of fear, you know, and so many of those things are all bound up in a ball together, fear and anxiety and sadness and anger. Sometimes they just all come together. But one of my favorite scriptures is from Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I just love that, and I really do believe that just saying that over and over, it changes your heart. And it's a command.
It is a command.
It's a command. And sometimes just saying that in the midst of being anxious, you say it over and over, and it is because it's God's word and because it is alive, it changes you.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that scripture? It's prayer and petition with thanksgiving.
And to make the request known.
And it will guard and transcend your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's all of that. It is the transformational process that happens mm-hmm. when we thank God in the midst of
and
hard things.
And to keep doing it even though we feel it's not doing
yes.
anything.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of times we want to say a prayer, we want to get up after the prayer and go, okay, now I'm fine. But it doesn't work that way, does it? We say the prayer, and then we go through our day, and then maybe it's 2 days later, or maybe it's 2 hours later, or maybe it's 2 weeks later, we go, oh, I'm feeling a whole lot better. You know, that prayer did work. And then to remember, like you said, sort of build that altar. Do you have one or two favorite traits that you wrote about in the book?
Well, I wrote this with tears streaming down my face. And so the chapter, I've been getting a lot of input from moms of all ages. And the chapter on replacing my manipulation.
Ah, tell us about
that. With God's goodness.
How do we manipulate?
And this will be seen more for moms with older children at times. And I see this happening with Christian parents. They want their children to make the right choice. And they feel like they know what they're doing. But as our children get older, they have choice. God's given them choice. And we can cross the line and control them, all with a good intent. And I tell the story of when my daughter was 18 and when she really made some choices that were rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I look back at that time and I see the way that we parented was controlling.
Mm. And can you give us an example?
Yes.
Because I think we all do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There's a teaching that I really admire, and it's a teaching about guard your heart. I love that teaching and how you guard your heart. And we were a part of a ministry that taught not to date.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect people's convictions. What happened in my daughter is that she was a senior in high school and she wanted to date and she lied about it.
Oh.
Now, the thing about that is that's a very simple thing that many children are going to face. And where she literally had a different conviction than what we did,
mm-hmm.
we made the mistake of blowing that out of proportion, making it a big deal. And so one of the things, she's now 24 now and happily married, but one of the things when I was writing this chapter, my husband and I, we brought the kids together, we wrote out a repentance letter where we literally said, we did this, we did this, and we're so sorry. Would you please forgive us? And we did it
after you realized that you'd manipulated your daughter.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And not just with the one daughter. We brought them all together because, you know, your children watch you. And we wanted the other children to know we made this mistake. We're not going to make that mistake with you. And we should have known better. Would you please forgive us? And it was a very deep level repentance and a conviction of my heart. Mm-hmm. It's a conviction of my heart that God Himself gives children freedom of choice. And whenever we try to manipulate or control their choice, especially when they become adults, we can drive them to rebellion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I've really seen, this has been a chapter that's really touched a lot of hearts already, mm-hmm. for those that have read it. Mm.
Because I think there's a fine line, Sue, between teaching and ministering.
Sure.
And as Christian moms, we so desperately want our kids to do better than we did at that age, to love Jesus more, to follow His teaching. And I think that sometimes that line between teaching and instructing and manipulating is pretty blurred, particularly as kids get older.
Yeah, and it's not the intent of our hearts.
No.
And that's why I think Christian parents struggle with this issue more than non-Christian parents.
Yeah.
You know, non-Christian parents can be way too loose, you know, but they're not worried.
Exactly.
And sometimes they keep the heart connect, and it's hard to be a teenager.
Oh, yes.
And their hearts are tender, and we need to keep that heart connect with them.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think sometimes we fall into manipulating because we're really pretty egocentric, and that, you know, if you really sort of slice it down and peel back the layers, that we want our kids to go to church and to become wonderful Christian kids who don't date if we say don't date, or never drink if we say don't drink, because then that makes us feel like we're really good parents. But the truth of the matter is, think about God. I mean, He's a perfect parent. And He has kids that are doing a lot of stupid stuff and making a lot of big mistakes. So why do we feel it's a reflection of us?
Yeah.
If our kids are making mistakes, that maybe we're bad parents. Not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most comforting things when I was going through that hard period of time, is to realize that God's the perfect parent. He put His children in a perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, and they still rebelled.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most comforting thing to me in that period of time, because my whole heart had been to be a good mom.
Right. And you feel like you failed.
Yes.
A good friend of mine's daughter got pregnant at 16, and she was an Episcopal minister. And she just, same thing. She felt that she was a total failure, and she has a great sense of humor, and she said that she was going to start the Worst Mothers of America Club. That would be a good blog.
That would be.
Yeah, but she had a terrific sense of humor. And then, you know, sort of working through that, and it's so true, and I think particularly, you know, mothers with teenagers, we have to understand that our job is to teach and instruct and love and have our kids' backs, but at the same time, not always see their mistakes as personal failures. You also write about the fact that, and this is going to be hard for a lot of mothers, our identity and worth does not come through our children. Can you explain that?
Yes. I think this is a mistake of Christian moms, too. We are parenting to please others.
Yeah.
We parent to hold up to whatever standard we're following. And really, there's not a cookie cutter way to parent your children. And even each child is different. So you need to make spirit-led decisions for your children. And so that freedom to be who you are and to realize that overall, in the kingdom, you're a daughter.
Yeah.
That's your relationship, is with your Father in heaven.
We're a daughter first.
We're a daughter first. And what we're trying to do with our children is we're trying to lead them to the Father.
Exactly.
And that we're being honest with them, transparent when we failed, and pointing them to the only perfect Father.
Right. Which is so freeing because God's got our back. You know, God has got our back. But I think that those two, the things that we're just talking about, understanding that, you know, our kids' failures, in quotes, or mistakes, are not a reflection of our parenting. And that frees us up to recognize that our identity is not in their successes, too. And what a freeing thing. So if anybody wants to find out more about the work that you do or your book, where can they go to find out more about you?
They can go to suedetweiler.com, and Detweiler is Detweiler. And there's a lot of resources for this book online.
Yeah. Sue, what a joy it's been having you.
Yeah.
9 Traits of a Life-Giving Mom, Replacing My Worst with God's Best, written by Sue Detweiler, who has been our guest for the past 2 shows. Sue, it has been a real joy meeting you. I hope this book just sells hundreds of thousands of copies and transforms the lives of many, many moms out
yep.
there. And I would encourage moms of any age, even grandmoms like me, to go out and get a copy, because it's so important to grow as a mom, no matter what age you are.
It is. And to help another mom.
Yes.
If
yes.
you've gone through something difficult, then help another mom. Encourage them.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, Sue, I thank you so much for coming. This has been a lot of fun and just a wonderful interview.
Dr. Meg, I have so enjoyed you, and I can tell you've got wisdom and experience as a mom. And Ryan, it's been so much fun to hear your stories as a dad.
Thank you.
And I want to encourage you. Encourage that wonderful wife of yours.
Definitely. Oh, what a great program we've enjoyed today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia, from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and I have a very special offer for all of you who are listening today. You know, there's no higher calling as a Christian mom or dad than to teach children the gospel, the good news, and to provide spiritual training within the home. That's the most important task. But unless parents get serious about leading their families in godliness, they could, and in some cases are likely to, grow up without a strong faith, the faith of the generations that preceded them. And that's why I want to equip you with the sound teaching and practical wisdom that you need to raise a family of disciples for Christ. In a brand new collection of 8 DVDs titled Building a Family Legacy, I tackle common parenting questions and offer advice and encouragement based on the firm foundation of biblical principles. The Building a Family Legacy 8 DVD series is my gift to you to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. Now, I will accept no royalty or any portion of this donation. Every dollar will go to help support Family Talk. And we could use your assistance at this time. So I pray that this resource will be a great blessing to you and the children God has placed in your life. Request your copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for your continued support and for listening to Family Talk.
Here's Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
Have you noticed that laughter is the key to surviving the special stresses of the child-rearing years? It's true. Almost every day, I hear from mothers who share the most wonderful stories with me about their kids. One of my favorites came from the mother of two small children, and this is what she wrote. Dear Dr. Dobson, a few months ago, I was making several phone calls in my family room where my 3-year-old daughter, Adrian, and my 5-month-old son, Nathan, were playing quietly. Now, Nathan loves Adrian, who's been learning how to mother him gently since the time of his birth. I suddenly realized that the children were no longer in view. Down the hall and around the corner, I found the children playing cheerfully in Adrian's bedroom. Relieved and upset, I shouted, "Adrian, you know you're not allowed to carry Nathan. He's too little and you could hurt him if he fell." Startled, she answered, "I didn't, Mommy." Well, knowing that he couldn't crawl, I suspiciously demanded, "Well, then how'd he get all the way into your room?" Confident of my approval for her obedience, she said with a smile, "I rolled him." The kid's a little dizzy, but he's okay. Parents like this mother of Adrian and Nathan, who can see the delightful side of children, also tend to cope better with the difficulties. I hope you'll never, never get too busy to smile.